Awesome recording.
Cool. Yeah, I had to do a reboot of my system. For some reason, it wasn't coming on to tons of updates this week on Apple products. So to include Logic Pro and all this stuff, and then I turn it on and nothing worked.
They want everybody to buy new stuff, so they're just like, we gotta age out like a whole tier of computers.
So yeah, force that those are perfectly fine. Let's just throw them in the trash. We'll start over.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it is episode 158, and I want to give you a happy start to the Asia Pacific American Heritage Month.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I accept half of the greeting on my Asian half, but you know.
Yeah, I figured it popped up on my calendar for some reason. I thought you invited me to something.
No, it's a busy month for us at at work. We have a lot of events coming up.
Exactly.
A lot of virtual events. We have some stuff with a senator from Hawaii and Awkwafina and Bob Iger are going to have a conversation later in the month. So a lot of fun stuff.
And I will say, when that popped up on my calendar, you were the first one I thought of.
So. Thank you. Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into some beer in celebration and commemoration of the Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. What do you have tonight?
Well, I have an Evil Twin Imperial Stout with peanuts and vanilla.
Evil Twin Imperial Stout with peanuts and vanilla.
Yes, it's Evil Twin is from Connecticut.
Okay.
And it is called a Scanny Noir. So we're going to crack this puppy and see what's up.
All right. And I have a Belching Beaver
Deftones
Phantom Bride IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had this?
I have had that. Yes. It's
very, oh, you have?
Very good. Yes.
It's named after the ethereal song by the one and only Deftones Phantom Bride.
Nice.
I'll skip all the stuff, but I did want to get to the bottom of the can.
Uh-huh.
And it says, sit back, put on your headphones and drink away. And that is exactly what we're doing tonight, baby.
What are you tipping in at over there?
Oh, you know what? Let me pour and I'll check. Come on. It's always a competition between us. Okay. I am weighing in at 7.1 ABV.
Nice. Nice.
Where are you?
I'm sitting at an even 12.
Wow. I'm off by like 4.9.
Well, it's so funny because Evil Twin, their parent company, it's the distribution, it says, so brewed and packaged by Evil Twin Brewing, North Haven, Connecticut, distributed by 12%. So they have a name that they have to live up to, you know?
Well, I guess so. We took a week off.
Yes.
Sadly, we had to put Jake down this week, so he was our labradoodle. He would have been 9 in June, and so he was 8.
Right.
And he had a mass growing in his esophagus where it meets the stomach, and he just couldn't eat anymore, and he was starving. I mean, it was really sad to see. And we tried all kinds of stuff. We were pureeing food. Even the night before, we pureed tri-tip, and I mean, he lapped it all up. Like, I mean, his carnal instincts took over, and he was just like devouring this stuff. And then about 10 minutes later, he vomited it all up and everything. Just, he couldn't get it past
just his, not keep anything down.
He couldn't get it into his stomach is really the issue, you know. And you know, the poor guy, I mean, it was really a sad time. So we took the weekend off last week, and so that was Monday we actually had to do the deed.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, you know, it's the cycle of life. It's part of pet ownership, dog ownership. I'm sure cats too, people who own cats, you know, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's that thing that just sometimes you just got to do, and we just had to do it too early for him, you know, because he was, like I said, he was to be 9 on June 6th. His birthday was D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed it by a couple months. But, you know, and it was one of those things where he was kind of, by the time it all came to fruition, he was suffering for about the past month.
Mm-hmm.
We were just trying all kinds of stuff. And it's just, you know, it just gets to the point. It's just he can't get food to pass.
Right. Oh, that's too bad.
And his inputs and outputs weren't matching. So mm-hmm. he wasn't pooping anymore because he wasn't getting any food anymore. And,
yeah,
you know, so anyway, not to be, you know, we want to be a little bit upbeat, but right. just had to give an update on the poor yes. guy, and we'll all miss him. And so other than that, I would say, you know, we have my in-laws here this week, mm-hmm. so it's nice to see them and the boys seeing them. We haven't seen them for a long time, but now everybody's vaccinated and all is good. So we're gonna have a fun weekend. So
awesome.
How about yourself?
So it's been a couple weeks, but been just hard at work. Anne has us on a 6-week physical challenge
plan. Okay, tell me about it.
The whole family. We each one of us had to come up with our own physical challenge.
Like a goal, you mean, or the challenge itself?
Well, I mean, yeah, the challenge itself is just getting up and doing it, you know? Like how much are we gonna do? And each one of us has a different goal. My goal was just to get back out running again and running and lifting. So just work my way back into it. So I think I said like 3 days a week for the first 2 weeks, 4 days a week for the next 2 weeks, and 5 days a week by the last 2 weeks, hopefully, to get back into the full swing. So, you know, I'm at the end of our second week. My 3 days a week, I'm hitting that hard. Like, I'm good. I can do 3 days a week. Every other day is not too much of a challenge. But, it, you know, when you're going from just on and off all the time, it's hard to get the consistency. I know you have the trainer and you're going all the time. But
here's the funny thing, though. So me and Clarice have been going hard, you know, cycling, weightlifting and stuff, and, you know, trying to stay fit, healthy, whatever.
Yeah.
And we've just been like nose to the grindstone getting after it.
Yeah.
And then we start skipping a workout here and there, right? And we learned that like some of the events we were registered for and we were going to do get canceled. So we're like, ah, oh, man, these things get canceled. Well, once you learn that what you had planned, now you're skipping more workouts a week. So I told her, I said, I hate to say it, but like, I'm burnt. I need to recharge the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just not do anything.
Right.
Your parents are coming. We'll just hang out. You know, we had all the stuff going on with Jake and the dog stuff that we had to deal with. And I said, stress is stress, whether it's like emotional stress or physical stress. Your body doesn't know the difference hormone-wise.
Right.
I said, let's just take some time off, get recharged, and then we can hit it back again like in a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. And I'll tell you, man, best thing I think I've done.
Yeah.
Slowly, I'm like, man, I miss it. I want to get back doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're down in the throes and the trenches of it, you know, sometimes it's exactly what you said. Like, you just start missing workouts, and then your subsequent workouts become kind of harder because now you're not as consistent as you otherwise would be. So now you're playing more catch up and, you know, all that stuff. So I'm right there with you. It's so funny.
Yeah.
That not even talking about it, and we're like right in the same boat. That's why we're podcast partners.
That's right. Trailer Junkies for life.
That's how it works.
But yeah, other than that, you know, work's been pretty consistent. Oh, I finally got, you know, I've been talking you ad nauseum with you, I'm sure, about Airtable, but
oh my god, more Airtable.
We finally got to a place where it's like, all right, we need to build the thing. So I'm in the middle of building the thing. It's going to be amazing. It's great. I was talking to some people at Airtable today, and they're like,
just watching Airtable porn.
Well, basically my build, you know, the backlog that I've written up for my build is kind of like that. It's like,
that's what I'm talking about.
A bunch of flow charts. And I was like, here, and here's the automation. Yeah. Here's the automation. Here's the, you know, I made some instructional videos that we're putting on the pages and stuff. So it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. And then, you know, I didn't, you know, IT, you know, when you talk to IT and engineers and stuff at work, you know, you ask them for stuff and they're like, oh, that'll take 3 weeks, 6 weeks, you know what I mean? Like, and you're like, what are you talking about? How can, you know, I just want this button over here to do these things over there.
Right, right.
And, you know, how hard can that be? You know, and now I'm building the buttons that do the things. And I was like, oh, that's broken.
And you're telling your team 4 to 6 weeks. Right, exactly.
So I have a lot more respect for the time frames that they give you as I debug this thing. And I was like, I built it so the notes would pop up when you did that, but now it was working and now it's not working anymore. I got to go find that bug.
And you're telling your team, it's a Delta build. It's a Delta build. Right? You're not even in like beta.
Right, right. How about you? How's work? Are you back full in school now or what's...
Well, yeah, I don't remember what we left off with, what we talked about before, but
I think you were going back and you were splitting some time. I think that was the standard, but
yeah, the main thing is I'm there 5 days a week.
The kids are splitting there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cohort A, cohort B. Cohort A is Monday, Tuesday. Cohort B is Thursday, Friday. Everybody's off Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And the custodians like kind of deep clean everything.
Deep clean. Yeah. That's nice.
You know, before the second cohort comes in, and I'm there 5 days a week, like I always was. So for me, not much has changed, but for trying to figure out which kids on which day. So,
right.
And that's proving somewhat of a challenge, but not too bad.
Is it mostly alphabetical? It's mostly alphabetical, right? Like,
not, well, maybe, sort of, yeah. But
you got those parents that say, like, I want to, like you guys, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. No, and then there's some kids that are about a third that are still on distance learning too.
Uh-huh.
So there's like three cohorts really, and one of the cohorts doesn't even show up.
Right.
They're just on Zoom completely. We got our new next year calendar, next year schedule. So far everything's on track to be full. I'll believe it when I see it.
Exactly.
I am optimistically hopeful that, you know, with vaccines, with all this stuff, we can make that happen and get kids back in school and things start returning. I would say until I retire, the mask is a good thing at work.
Yeah.
You know, kids walk in, snot-nosed, you know, like coughing. And
schools have always been like a petri dish of colds and flu.
I call them the cesspools of disease. That's what children are, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't ever want to have like a head cold, a sinus infection, a flu. I mean, screw corona. Like, this has been the one thing I got to say is what the one thing COVID has been good for. I haven't been sick all this time because I've been like PPEing it all up.
Exactly.
You know, like no colds, no sore throats. Like, I could breathe easy, you know?
Yeah, and yeah.
Yeah, it's like you just take care. You just wear a mask and wash your hands. Next thing you know, like, I don't have a cold.
Right. It was nice to stand outside with Frank and Barbara today before they left. We just stood outside with them a little bit today. And Anne had her mask on, but Frank and Barbara didn't have their mask. And I was in between meetings, so I just had run out there just to say hi. I didn't know they were heading up to you, but they're like, yeah, say bye. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, look, we stood around and we were technically socially distant, but we were standing around and I wasn't thinking about it. But other than Anne wearing a mask, I was like, this is kind of a normal neighborly hangout, you know? So it was interesting.
Exactly. We could be people again. All right, man. So moving on,
yes,
to Ted Lasso season 2. Let's begin with the premise that I have not seen Ted Lasso.
Okay. Well, I know you haven't seen Ted Lasso. You have not decided to take the plunge with Apple TV Plus.
Right.
You're waiting for the foundation, right? I guess.
Yeah, I want to see the foundation and I'll probably dive in then.
Uh-huh.
So the way I look at it is just from watching this trailer, he's a sports psychologist. Is that right?
He might as well be. I mean, he is probably the most positive person in the world, I think, you know.
Okay, and then the second...
But he's a coach.
Oh, he's a coach. And the second question I have was the first season about football too.
Yes, it is.
As in American soccer.
As an American, well, European soccer, it's, you know, it's Premier League. So it's in Europe, but in America, yes, we call it soccer.
Right. So the first season was also soccer.
Yes.
Okay. So I wasn't sure, like, if
because he's such a country.
Well, that, but I was also thinking, okay, if he's a sports psychologist, maybe it was baseball the last one or something. I mean, but okay, so he's a coach and on a soccer team in the Premier League in England or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
You know, it's a very typical story. I think the HBO did it initially like 30 years ago. They did, what is it, First and 10 or something like that.
Oh, First and 10, yeah.
Remember First and 10?
Yeah.
The wife of the owner takes over the team and tries to drive it into the ground. I think it's the same premise as Major League, too, I believe.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
The female owner, and they try to drive the team into the ground because it was their husband's pride and joy.
Right.
So it's a general sports premise, but the way that Ted Lasso, the way the character is written, and the way the supporting cast is just given scenery to chew and just given just the juiciest stuff is just, you know, as we've said, it's a testament to Jason Sudeikis. It's why he's on my wall waving me right now, because it is a phenomenal TV show. And it was so funny because Apple just had the 1-2 whammy, right? They had last week the Apple announcement for all the products that they have coming out. And then on 420, they had that announcement. And then this week, 428, they had their earnings call. So between the earnings call and the, you know, announcement of all that's all the stuff, this is 420 was when this trailer came out. And somebody, one of the commentators, one of the people that I listened to, I forget who it was that said it, but they said, Ted Lasso is probably the most Apple thing Apple could make, you know, because it's this happy, you know, impossibly positive person in this so-called real world, but just doing the impossible by staying positive in all circumstances, you know, like amazing.
Yeah. The one thing I would say, though, is as a trailer, mm-hmm. I don't know if the trailer has done its job well.
Right.
Because it doesn't make me want to watch it.
Okay. I think you and I have hit this on the head a bunch of times. I think when we hit season two, specifically sophomore season trailers for a series.
Is this for across the board or for this?
Across the board.
Okay.
I feel like we've had parts of this conversation before where season two, season premiere trailers, you know, like it is reinvigorating, reacquainting the audience from season one.
Oh yeah, right.
It's like the thing we want to do is we want to remind the people that came to see season one and then hope to grow the audience from the excitement of the fan base. So this is more of like an announcement of a time, you know, like here it's coming. When is it? I think June or July or something like that. It feels like it's soon, right?
July 23rd. It comes out July 23rd. Yeah.
But it's coming pretty quick. So it feels like people like me who remember the first season, I'm trying to watch it again. I know I saw it at least five times when it, you know, when it was out fresh. I should totally put it on the background. But I think it's for people like me to talk to people like you. And it's also a niche thing that if you have Apple, you know, it's appealing to the Apple crowd of just trying to get more people into the platform. But I think, you know, maybe it kind of hits you. It was interesting to hear you say, is he a sports psychologist? Because like I agree that they weren't necessarily as clear, but I didn't even think about it. But yeah, so I think it's trying to do make everyone remember what they saw. So if you're not into it, then they're not writing you off, but they're not necessarily selling it to you.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, and you're right. We've talked about that before when a season, the next season comes out.
Right.
It's reacquainting you with it. And we're going to talk about this later in what we're watching. It kind of touches on that, but it reacquaints you with it, as you just said. It's going to get the new people to come in, but they're probably hoping that the new people coming in don't start with season two anyway. So, oh, you want to watch season two? Here, let's feed you season one first.
It's like, I think we covered Handmaid's Tale, and when we were doing Handmaid's Tale, the trailer for the new season, it wasn't getting me back into it, but it was exciting you about watching it. So I thought that was interesting.
Exactly. So you're reading my notes. Yeah, so I mean, obviously you're watching this.
I'm watching this 100%.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll probably jump into Ted Lasso season two after I see season one when we get into Apple TV Plus.
Right.
When Foundation gets released and
whatever that is.
It's been 50 years so in the making, so it might be another 50, so it might be a while until we see Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
All right, so Marvel Studios, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Shang-Chi. What did I say? Shang-Chi?
Chi. Yeah, Chi.
It's not a T.
It's not Chi-T.
Okay. The title's way too long.
And yeah, the Ten Rings is kind of long. And don't let the women in the Willett household hear you say chai tea. Because
what do they call it?
Well, chai means tea. So it's like saying tea. It's, you know, chai is a type of spice here.
Oh, I got you. It's like saying I'll have a chai. But if I say I'll have a chai. It's like when you go to the La Brea tar pits. La Brea means tar. It's like going to the tartar pits.
Or like when we went to Italy and we ordered a latte, and because they're snarky over there, they just give us milk. You're like, oh, you didn't say a cafe latte. I was like, oh, thanks, guys. I apologize for not for calling it milk.
Silly Americans.
I'll just be quiet again.
So what do you think? A 2-minute teaser?
I know. So I thought about this the past couple of weeks. I think that we are in a semantic shift in the marketing space for trailers. I think they realized that when they said trailers, that they used to be at the end of things.
At the end, right.
And that was the trailer, and and now they have this whole cottage industry of the production team making a trailer. Making a credit sequence button, you know?
They're big business.
So it's like there are trailers out there to be had, and they're actually trailing the movie, and they're part of the production. So now these are teasers and they're previews and they're these things that are front running the content in the marketing space. So I think maybe we're in a place where trailers aren't necessarily dead per se, but we're reclassifying them as teasers. So maybe it's just they came together and they just decided, let's just call them teasers.
So do we call ourselves preview people?
Teaser junkies. Come on. We can keep the letters.
Teaser junkies. Okay, teaser junkies.
We can keep trailer junkies. Come on. It's like, you know, it's the archaic version. We're such old podcasts. We're doing this for
trademark
years,
trademark.
You know, whatever.
We got the trademark. You know who would have been awesome in this role?
Jackie Chan.
No, Bruce Lee.
Oh, Bruce Lee. Yes.
This was made for Bruce Lee, man. If he was around still, any younger guy, he'd be like 80 now or something.
But I bet he could still kick ass. Like Jackie Chan is it feels like he's 80 and he could still do some insane
moves.
It
feels like Jackie Chan's 80.
Don't you think? He's been around forever.
I don't know. Has he? Has he? Jackie Chan. I'm going to look him up, man. I gotta see. I'm going to say 52.
Oh, no. I think 70.
Get out.
Yeah.
No way. All right. Let's see here. He's, he's 67.
Oh, it's closer.
Price is Right rules, you win.
Price is Right rules, I lose because I'm over.
You said 70.
I'm over, but you can't go over in Price is Right.
That's right. You're over. So I win.
You win. Dollar. I bet a dollar. He's a 1-year-old.
Oh, God, I hate that. I hate that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar with this.
I'm not familiar with the comic storyline, but this is a great expansion of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's right in line with Asian Pacific American Heritage Month.
It's right in line with the Heritage Month. And it looks kick-ass. It, you know, I watched part of this, and the second half of this trailer hits like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Okay.
It has some great, amazing cinematography in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like they start really small, and they start, you know, in this scale and this pace, and they're slow, and they plod away at the beginning of this trailer. And then halfway through, the gloves come off, and there's fight scenes. And then the scale just it blows up to these epic.
It turns into a Marvel movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean.
And, you know, and it hits in this. The Asian realm, and it looks like it's going to be a great movie. It's interesting to me that you don't have just because it's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I guess you don't necessarily have to tie it in to everything else.
Yeah, when you think of it in those terms, I mean, you have the X-Men, you have Avengers, and then, you know,
you have the Fantastic Four who have been on an island, you know, forever.
Right. So is this fitting into canon anywhere, or is this its own island, or we don't know yet?
I don't know. I mean, it makes sense that you would develop it separately. I think we have Immortals coming in, so Immortals might tie in to everything else.
And what's his superhero power? Just awesome karate guy?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that your inner chi, you know? You line up the chakras and you can, you know, control yourself, control the world kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. But yeah, I love the idea of we're entering this new set of phases, you know, where everything's kind of resetting. And, you know, you've been in the front quarter of the last big sweeping epics of all of the Marvel movies. You know, it feels disjointed when you start out. You know, you're starting out and it's got Iron Man, and then it's got separately Thor.
Exact, right.
And it has they have these separate threads, but then they weave them together. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, the Tesseract is actually an Infinity Stone. The time.
Yeah, 19 movies later. Yeah,
the time stone right. is actually in the thing from Doctor Strange, you know. So I just love the idea of feeling like something's disjointed, feeling like it's an island, feeling like it's unto itself, but then hoping and knowing that they may not weave it into the plans for the future.
When we look at Iron Man, I think it was 2007,
uh-huh.
And we move forward to Endgame and, you know, everything in between, of course, and even Black Widow coming out, I guess. But we're looking at when Endgame was done was, what, 2019?
Okay.
I think. So it more or less took about 12 years to run through 20-ish movies, 21 movies, whatever it is. It took about 12 years for all these movies to come out. So if this is the beginning of a new, I don't know, cinematic universe, parallel cinematic universe or something, we're probably looking at the next decade, and this is only the beginning, testing the waters, and we don't even know how they have it story mapped and how they have it coming out.
Well, we know that they're going to continue with Doctor Strange and the next Spider-Man, and
but that's going to fit into Shang-Chi.
That's the plan. This is in the works with all of that, and it's going to fit in as far as the release, you know. But as far as the storyline, it's not known how they're going to weave it in. So it's interesting. It's just very, very fun to think about.
And is he an Avenger, or we don't know yet?
I don't think he's an Avenger, you know. And that's why I think, and I we might get blasted for this too. I think Anne knows more about the Immortals than I do, because the other morning we were reading, you know, in bed as we're getting up, and she said something about the Immortals, and I was like, who are you? I don't even know. Like, you've never read a comic book in your life. How do you know about the Immortals? She goes, I read the trades. You know, you're in the business. You should read the trades too. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't read Deadline and, you know, all that stuff.
Well, and that's just it. You know, you kind of beat me to the punch. I was going to say something similar along the lines that there are the comic book crazies out there that just love this stuff and eat it up. And they're like, well, it's an issue, whatever. And, you know, volume, whatever.
357. Didn't you read the third episode of...
Came out in 1977. It's been out forever. How do you not know this? You know, And they're probably right. Like, yeah, if you're like super into this stuff, of course people know. It's not like the information's not out there as how this goes, assuming the Marvel Studios keeps it on track.
Right.
If you follow the comic books, it's telling you what's coming next and everything. So just go get the comic books. But yeah, I can't do it. I got too much else to read.
Yeah, if you could read the tea leaves of, you know, 8,000 plus characters and 100,000, you know, comics, you know.
Yeah. It's, I know, man, they have so many characters. I don't know how they keep up with them all.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to the crime of the century. So we have another, I don't know, one of these, the system is so horrible documentaries and everybody's corrupt. And I mean, yeah, I don't know what to make of it. HBO Max. And this looks, I mean, yeah, again, the system's terrible. People are dying. It's all about corruption and money and politics and power. And what do you do? It's like you feel helpless at some point.
You feel helpless, but you also, I mean, hopefully it gets people angry enough to think, like, it's one thing to say, like, oh, we had a product and it didn't do exactly what we thought it was going to do. And we paid a lot of money to, you know, keep the lights on to keep it going. But then to say, like, we had, you know, we knew we could addict people or we knew we could do this horrible thing. And we decided that's what we wanted to do as a business plan. And it was just like, and it was like it all the way down to the initial intent seemed to be to ride this wave of, we knew what was getting people hooked, you know, on the streets, and we could put a tie on it and we could put a suit on it, but we could do the same thing in through corporations and through corporate America, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
does it make you angry though? I mean, it's helpless on one hand.
It does make me angry. It's one of these things where you come up with a product and you're not fully sure what to do with the product. So you just like turn this thing loose on the population and just it's so addictive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's heroin in a pill form.
Exactly.
And it was intense when they're showing, like in the trailer, they're showing people like mainlining it, you know, with,
yeah.
Oh God, like they're liquefying it just to like right in the vein, man. Ugh,
yeah. Disgusting. But it's like 3M was trying to make a new super glue, like an adhesive to end all adhesives, right? And they screwed up the formula and they made Post-it notes, you know what I mean? They made the weakest, right, the weakest adhesive in the world, so weak that it lets go, but it sticks temporarily and it leaves no residue. So like, oh, let's take this happy accident and make millions and billions of dollars on it. But that hurts no one, zero people, you know? And for somebody, you know, for a company like this to just hit it so hard.
You know, it's one of those things, like so many things get invented that way, Velcro and 7-Up and like you said, Post-it notes. But the difference though is they're not addictive to the extent of OxyContin.
Right. And this wasn't even a mistake. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
This was done on purpose.
It was done to make as much money as possible so these doctors would peddle this product. And then it winds up going into, when you look at it legally and through Congress and so on, they make legislation that more or less compels doctors that they must prescribe pain medication.
Yeah.
Because like they're legally bound to, or the doctor could get sued.
Yeah, I mean it is across the board, you know what I mean? And it's like, and in retrospect, for all these people, all the doctors and all the salespeople and everyone to say in retrospect, like, oh, it felt like we were doing something wrong, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I'm not holier than thou, but I guess I'm lucky to have never been put in a position where, you know, going to work in the profession that I chose came in direct opposition to my morals. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just...
Exactly.
I guess just stay out of politics and this level of corporate America, you know?
And pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceuticals, right.
So getting back to Marvel, though, really quick. Yeah. Are you familiar with the Planet Money podcast?
Yeah. I've heard a couple of those. Yeah.
On NPR. Yeah. So they had a series about buying a superhero.
Uh-huh.
And they went to Marvel and they wanted to buy this really obscure superhero called Doorman.
A real superhero?
Yeah, Marvel superhero. You know how, like you said, they have 5,000 of them or something.
8,000. Yeah, okay.
8,000, whatever it is. So they looked up about the most obscure superhero that they have, who's Doorman. And they said, you know, we would like to buy Doorman from you. And Marvel was like, absolutely not. You're not buying Doorman from us. Because they essentially don't know where their universe might take them.
Right.
And they might need Doorman at some point. And he's like a guy that does portals and stuff.
Oh, that makes sense. So it's like a Doctor Strange or something, kind of.
Yeah, I guess, you know, but yeah, Doorman. Like, what a name, too.
We started watching, well, I don't know if we're crossing over into what we're watching, but we started watching Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
The old from the 80s, 90s.
Yeah, the boys are watching that stuff, too.
So we started watching it a little bit, and... And the one of the first episodes, I think, has Batman and the cat and Catwoman. And Bryce got all, you know, bent out of shape. And he was like, Catwoman's Marvel. The Catwoman's Marvel. And I was like, no, dude, the Catwoman has always been DC. Like, it's never, it doesn't. And he goes, I know that there's a Catwoman in Marvel, you know. So
there probably is.
We pulled it out. And yes, it's called the character is called Black Cat. And it is, it looks just like Catwoman. So it's a little copycat. I don't know who was first. I'm sure somebody would know who was first. But yeah. So, I mean, with 8,000 characters, sure. Why would they let go of anyone? You just make a portal man. You know what I mean?
And the thing is, you never know when they need that character to fill a niche. He could be a throwaway character for one episode or something.
Right.
Drop him in. He portals his way out, saves the team, and, you know, he gets killed.
A nice Easter egg for all those Doorman fans out there.
Doorman fans.
What have you been watching?
You know what, though?
Oh, go ahead.
You know, I'm just going to say there's probably a Doorman fan out there. Like, it's his favorite. He has, like, all the action figures. Yeah, so we watched Brewmans.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch that, but I wanted to. Where is it?
It was a $5 rental on, like, YouTube.
Okay.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. It got the brewing juices flowing. I went and bought a couple of recipes. I'm going to be brewing one tomorrow, an IPA, an Imperial IPA.
Does Frank help out when he's there and you're brewing?
Yeah, he does a little bit. You know, he follows directions. So I say, Frank, let's fill buckets of water or whatever. You know, he goes and fills it for me. But, yeah, 10 Mile Brewing Company and Liberation Brewing Company. So, you know, in Long Beach, and Liberation Brewing Company, LBC.
Nice.
But the guy from Liberation Brewing Company was in the ska band Real Big Fish.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah, he was like a trombone player or something. And now he's opening this brewery. But the big thing that got me thinking is it's like, okay, yeah, you make good beer. Like, okay, I make good beer.
Yeah.
But man, to scale it and to run my recipe a production and to bring it all into like being able to run a brewery. I mean, it's like one thing to make 5 gallons on a Saturday. And another thing to be churning out production day in, day out, week in, week out. I mean, that's got to be so intense. And I mean, an 80-hour work week.
Really?
You know, easy.
Wow.
Well, I mean, think about it. You're like Figaro Mountain Brewing.
Uh-huh.
When we first discovered that place, the guy was a businessman who essentially started with money from junkyards he owned.
Okay.
Okay, he's a businessman. Makes sense. He hired the brewmaster. He hired all the people. He hired the managers. He hired everybody. Ran it as a business. You come out of brewing in your garage, and now you're going to decide to start a business. you don't have any business experience and you can brew 5 gallons. I mean, that's an undertaking I don't know if I would be prepared for. That would be like really intense. And they kind of show what they do is they show like their stumbling blocks where they kind of run into problems, how they get going. And it ultimately ends on opening day when they're serving beer to people.
Nice.
So, which was very cool.
That's a happy ending for sure.
Yeah, but man, it looks hard. You know, it looks hard.
But hey, when we do it, when I help you do it, we're gonna have all different mistakes than them because we've watched this thing.
That's right. That's right. We're gonna have the mistakes that they didn't show, but yet they still made anyway. Then we watched the Avengers. So we're up to the Avengers. And I liked it better the second go around because I kind of had an idea of what the heck was happening.
Right.
And why it was happening and what everything was. But again, it's the same annoyance I have with all these movies. In order to save the city, the Avengers must destroy the city.
It would have been destroyed worse had they not been there.
Okay, sure.
To save it. But as the subsequent movies point out, would anyone have even like bothered with us if we didn't have the Avengers here, you know, at all, you know?
Well, that's exactly, you beat me to the punch. Yeah. If the Avengers weren't even a thing, nobody would have done it. It would be life as we know it today.
Yeah.
New York would still be standing. We'll talk about Winter Soldier at the end.
Okay.
Again, it's a couple weeks now because we missed last week, but
Right.
The Handmaid's Tale came out Wednesday night, and we talked about this a little bit in the beginning, but I didn't really want to jump in. But the one thing I liked about what Hulu did, what you mentioned was season two was reacquainting the audience or the fans with what they loved about season one. I would agree that's what's happening here. And what they wound up doing was the way Hulu worked it is it's season four, and they were supposed to come out, I think it was something like December, maybe January, maybe even earlier than that. I'm not really sure. But because of COVID and everything, they were delayed and they couldn't come out until, you know, the 28th of this past week.
Now,
what they did, and I really like this model, is I enjoy the week by week like what Disney does. It gives you a chance to digest it, to talk about it, to get in, you know, to, if you're a fan, you could do some reading about it and you could do all this stuff, the anticipation and all the things that we like about the week by week. If it's bingeable, it all dumps in one day. You could literally watch it in one day. It's over and it's just mush.
It's junk food.
Yeah, it flows over. It washes over you to the extent you don't even know what you're watching. And you don't have all those other media, you know, the YouTube videos, the articles, the Googling around, the searching and stuff that keeps the anticipation and the excitement and what you enjoy about it. What Hulu did, it was almost a nod to say, you know what, we wish we could have put it out when we originally planned. COVID interfered. What they did was they dumped 3 episodes on the first day, and then they're going week by week.
There you go. That's a little hybrid.
It's like, here's some bingeable material. Uh-huh. Get you caught up, keep you excited. You know, you could go bonkers the first night, and then it's week by week. So I thought that was really cool how they did that, how they kept the audience, like it, they kind of nodded to the audience to say, yeah, you want to binge this, we'll let you binge it. And then it's like they just pull the
3 hours.
Yeah, they pull the tablecloth out from under you, and now you're stuck week by week. Which is cool, though. So you can sit there and you can still go and do all of the researching and the watching and the pontificating and whatever it is that you want to do with it, you know?
Right, right. Now the big thing with my kids is they want to know how many weeks it's going to be. You know, because I think they were caught off guard at how
that's now a thing with them. I do that all the time. How many weeks is this going to be?
Well, I bet they are particularly attuned to it. I think they felt like they were shorted a little bit on Captain America and Winter Soldier, which I like to call it that now. You know, I think they felt like it was too short. It was too fast. It was, too, you know, 6 weeks is 6 episodes is too little.
It was. Yeah, right. I agree. I think it was a little bit abrupt.
But I'm like, but they pack so much in. You know what I mean? There's a lot happening in here. There are some, you know, feature sized budget sequences in the 6 hours of episodes. You know, they went,
oh man, some of those battles were outrageous.
They went to Europe. You know, they traveled the world for this thing. You know, it was clear they're in Prague for a bunch of those scenes, you know?
Oh, they put money into it.
So they definitely had money into it. And like you said, to not binge, like that's a constant struggle in our house. Like Audrey just binged Shadow and Bone, which is like a Netflix series off of a couple of books. I guess they smashed up a couple of book series together into this one drama, you know, kid, like not kid drama, but you know, it's like a young adult drama. And she binged it, and then she wanted to watch it again with the family. And I was like, I don't know. It's like, it seems okay. It's not too scary. It's like, it's a little scary for Bryce. But then she was like, oh, there's a little too much fooling around in a couple of scenes that I don't want to watch this with the family anymore.
I was like, I don't want to watch this with my dad.
And I said, what, you forgot? Like, you forgot because you binged it because you watched all the episodes in a couple of days. And that's why you forgot that there was sexy time. We like the Borat, you know, label of sexy time.
Nice.
So we stopped watching that, but last Friday we had one of the best viewing days because we woke up super early, 6-7 o'clock. I think it was 7 o'clock in the morning. We watched the last episode,
and we watched all night till 11.
No, we watched the first episode. We watched the last episode at 7 o'clock in the morning of Captain America and Winter Soldier, because he's now Captain America, you know. And we'd watch that first thing because we wanted to just get it out of the way in case there's spoilers throughout the day. Then I went to work, and while I was at work, you know, had a lunch break at like noon, and we went in and we saw Game Changers, Mighty Ducks at lunchtime, and we love yelling about how Lorelai is still the same mother, like she is in everything that she plays. She plays the same, you know, kind of doormatty mother. And then in the evening with dinner, we watched Big Shot, which is becoming one of my favorite TV shows out there. It's a must watch for any father of a teenager and anybody. It feels like a winner across the board. So
Big Shot. Okay, we'll check it out.
Big Shot. You should check it out. I don't know why Disney feels like they're going so heavy into sports. You know what I mean? It's like they have the hockey series with Mighty Ducks, Game Changers. And then they have a girls high school basketball series with John Stamos as the coach, you know, and Big Shot.
I wonder if it's because with COVID, we missed out on sports. We're coming out of COVID slowly,
nice, yeah.
And sports are ramping back up, and they're just getting people excited about it because people are excited about it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They're kind of just, they have their thumb on the pulse, you know?
And, you know, so we were watching that, and then we watched a couple of movies. I watched Can't Hardly Wait. Do you remember that movie, Can't Hardly Wait?
No, I don't.
It's like a coming-of-age movie. It's like a last year of high school movie. I was, you know, running through my DVDs, my old DVDs, and I was like, Audrey, Bryce and Mommy are at school. You know, Bryce has to go run, you know, to school a couple days a week. I said, are you done with your homework? And she goes, oh, I'm finishing it up. I said, well, finish it up and come and watch this coming of age movie with me. And she's into some older movies, but she hadn't seen this one. And she had watched one of the spoof movies, like Just Another Teen Movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is the spoof movie. And I was like, how can you watch the spoof movie without having the basis of like all the other teen movies, coming of age teen movies? And I was like,
there's nothing to reference it against.
There's no referential,
exactly.
Right? You think it's kind of funny, but it's not going to be as funny. And she watched it with me, and she's like,
because of the tropes and all.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, that's where they got that. Oh, you know?
And you're like, exactly my point.
You got to watch this first. You got to watch this first.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, so Falcon America and the Winter Soldier. That's what I call it. It's Falcon America.
Yes, U.S. Agent.
What did you think about the last one?
Loved it.
The last episode.
Loved the last episode. Like, you know, it hits you in the mouth, you know, with Captain America flying in the very first scene. You know, it's like, how are they going to reveal him as Captain America? And they're like, oh, forget it. We're just pulling the Band-Aid off and shove it into your face, you know?
Yeah.
So from there, it was like, if you're going to hit that hard in the opening scene, then you have to have the intensity up throughout the whole episode. And they did it.
Did you get the sense, though, that it felt like a rebranded Falcon? Because he still had the wings. He still had the little jet guys, you know, that are like his little aides.
The Red Wings, yeah.
The Red Wings and stuff. I mean, other than having like a different colored outfit, you know, he was really the same character, though.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think it is a mantle. You know what I mean? He had the shield. He had the title. He has the, you know, the blessing of the universe, you know?
And I think it was very powerful, though, that when you had like two white guys with the chiseled jaw and all that stuff,
yeah,
you know, being Captain America, blonde hair, blue-eyed guys with the chiseled jaw, and all of a sudden here's like just a black dude who's Captain America. I mean, that was very powerful.
Right.
Had a fantastic message that like everybody's American. Anybody can be Captain America. So that I really enjoyed. I like the other super soldier dude, the old black guy super soldier dude.
Yeah. No, he played it perfectly.
Yeah, you could see the pride that he carried.
Yeah.
You know, when it all kind of came to pass. I just felt like they ended on just a bunch of fist fights.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess how else do you end it though? I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're super soldier fist fights. So these are all super soldiers, you know, and people.
Well, okay, I guess that's what I meant. Is we've talked about it in prior episodes where everybody's so powerful, like beating on each other, but nobody could get hurt and nobody could die.
Right.
Like, I don't understand these fights. There's got what
well,
I
these
mean
people
is,
can
though,
die. These people can die. They're super
well,
soldiers.
Well, if you shoot them.
Right. Well, not even that. Like, I think only a super soldier can kill another super soldier.
Yeah.
You know? And I think they had that moment. You know, I think one of my family's favorite moments was when U.S. Agent, you know, grabbed the truck. You know, he grabbed the truck and he saved the senator and he saved the people that were basically hanging him out to dry.
Yeah.
And he did the right thing for the right reason, even though it would have been easier just to keep fighting the fight that he was fighting with the other super soldiers, you know, against the other super soldiers. But he put himself in harm's way to save the truck.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was all for naught because, you know, Captain America came in there. And the thing that I kept thinking was that we would have Torres come in as Falcon, like putting on the suit, putting on the wings that Falcon had given him as he becomes the next Falcon. And as every turn exposed the fact that only Captain America, Sam, was going to save Sam, I thought, what, you know, it's what a great play, what a great storyline to not have anyone come in and save the day. No white savior, no Latino savior, just, you know, Captain America, Falcon, you know, saving the day, you know, so he has his moment and he saves everyone, you know, so it's really, really nice. And then the little Tammy Duckworth love in there when the senator, when he's talking to the senator and he goes, I heard you flew helicopters, you know what I mean? And I was like,
right.
Oh, that's Tammy Duckworth, you know, the kids didn't know. And I was like, you know, she saved her crew by landing, you know, being shot down and landing her helicopter when she lost her legs, you know. And I was like, but she saved everybody by putting it down, you know. So I was like, little nod to some real life heroes, you know.
Yeah, that was actually really awesome. So that, you know, and I like how he says, yeah, little birdie tells me that you know how to fly helicopters. You know? So that was very cool. I mean, overall, I enjoyed it. I think I liked WandaVision better.
Right.
I think WandaVision just had a more the chaos versus good kind of a story. The way that played out, I think just was, I don't know, I just enjoyed it more.
And it was built for television.
Yeah, I think the conflict was I hate to say believable because it's Marvel.
It was scaled properly.
It was scaled. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I enjoyed that one a little better, I think. And it also had more like nuance, more comedic moments. Yeah, it was all around good.
It was definitely more of aha moments, or more gasp moments. You know what I mean? Like you were on the edge of your seat, and it was something that you had to watch because spoilers were going to ruin it, you know, for you. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that we could have seen in Captain America and Winter Soldier that was going to spoil it for you. You know what I mean?
Now, Sam, moving forward, is going to be Captain America in any future Marvel movies, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Right. And then does he pass on the legacy of Falcon to someone else then?
Oh, yeah, he already did. He passed it on to Torres.
Oh, that's right.
So Torres has the wings, and we'll see whenever he comes out. You know, the great thing about this is that it's just seeding the future. It's like you're seeing the cinematic theatrical stars of the future in these episodic, you know, small screen epics, you know. And I think that was the other thing, like,
unless they pull an Edward Norton and they quit.
Oh, yeah. The other thing was, like, WandaVision was built for the small screen, and it paid homage to television. And there were plenty of times in Falcon and the Winter Soldier when I was kind of pining or wanting it to be in the big screen, you know? The epicness of that scenes.
Some of those aerial battles and stuff were just amazing.
And then, you know, at first I was like, oh, they're sparing no expense. But then the question then becomes, well, why didn't they make this a movie? You know, why didn't they make this a 2 or 3 part movie? And then, like, but then the scale of the story, you know, is kind of smaller, and they just told it deeper. So, you know, it's a hard thing to please everybody here, but I think they did a good job with the story, and they made it, they plussed it out. It would have been completely different if it was a theatrical movie. It might have had some of the bigger beats the same, but some of the more subtle beats would have been lost, or, you know, they wouldn't have had Sam and Bucky fixing up the boat. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they would have missed out on relationship building.
Yeah.
Sam out to dinner with the father of the guy that he murdered.
Oh, Bucky. Yeah, Bucky out to dinner with. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you would have missed out on some of that dialogue, some of that relationship building, some of that foundational, you know, that information that leads to the reason that you care about these characters in the first place.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's the main thing, is why do I care? And they have to establish that, because if you don't care about the character, then it's just a bunch of action sequences and you turn it off and just go to bed.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, and you turn it back on to watch more action sequences, but the characters are irrelevant if they don't make it such that you actually give a shit.
Right.
And that's what I think that extra dialogue does for you. Like when Sam is talking, and I don't know the guy's name, but when Sam is talking to the old
right
super soldier dude, you're building those relationships and things, and that's what we're looking at, and those are the things that, you know, we enjoy, because it creates the reason that you're there in the first place.
Right. And it has the payoff where he's added to the heroes of World War II. He's added to that whole display, and it's like,
yeah, that was cool.
And it's a moving moment, and it's moving because we've spent time getting to know that he was totally destroyed by the country that he was fighting for. You know what I mean? So it was this vindication that would not have resonated had they not spent, you know, half an hour on it in a series that's 6 hours.
Well, and that's right. I mean, this guy fought valiantly for essentially a country that betrayed him.
Right.
You know, and that's where his bitterness came from. And then, you know, at the end, he was kind of that anger was a little bit subdued.
Yeah, it melted a little bit.
Exactly, right.
In the presence of somebody honoring him.
Yeah, yeah. So very cool, very cool. So do we know what the next movie is going to be?
The next movie is Loki.
Oh, Loki. That's right. Coming. June, I think.
Yeah. June? Is that right? Let's see.
Yeah, I think it's June. And they have...
June 11th, scheduled to premiere.
There we go. And they have... which brother was it? God, I can't think of his name. The guy with the crooked nose.
What? Not.
Yeah.
Oh, Owen Wilson. Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. Yeah. I'm like, great. Which Wilson? Yeah, Owen Wilson. I don't know. I mean, I can't take that guy serious.
Oh, but I mean, come on. Like, Jeff Goldblum was a maniacal planetary emperor, you know?
That's our next Marvel movie we're going to see.
Oh, Ragnarok?
Oh, no, that's not Dark World?
No,
that's
no. Ragnarok? Ragnarok is
okay, then. Okay, Dark World's the next
Dark
one.
Dark World's next. Dark World is... No, I guess I don't know. It's so hard. It's so... Yeah, I was trying to think of like ranking it, and I was like, oh, it's pointless to rank it. I Ragnarok is my favorite.
Is it really?
Taiki Waititi, just... He's so good.
Now, what do you, because that one,
the comedy, it plays to,
okay, the
plays,
comedy
plays
part
to the
of
comedic
it.
Level, you know, that is just so phenomenal.
Yeah, I think, and I'll have to revisit the statement, but so far, I think my favorite one is like Ant-Man.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because again, the comedy part of it, right?
Yeah, it plays comedic.
And in Ant-Man and the Wasp, the return to that same comedic storytelling.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that. That was so good, so clever. It was really enjoyable, and so far I think that, from my memory of what I've seen in the past.
Have you seen Ragnarok?
We've seen them all. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, the Jeff Goldblum one and stuff, and he's this flamboyant junkyard
emperor
planet guy. Yeah, it was so weird, you know. And the big stone dude with like the child voice.
Yeah, Korg. Korg.
Korg. Yeah.
He's the director.
Oh, that was Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah, and he revisits the role in Endgame when he's on the, you know, on the small island.
Yes.
You know, with Thor wailing, you know, wasting away over there, and he's in there playing video games.
When he has his big pop, yeah, he's just drinking beer and.
Thank God he put a fat suit on for that. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, if he did that for real, like, for the role.
What if,
like,
he did?
Oh, don't do it.
That'd be amazing. That would be amazing. All right, man. So, yeah, I'm glad we're back. You know, we took a week off, but it is what it is sometimes. You know, you got to do these things.
Life happens, and, you know, it's...
Kind of like our weightlifting and running and riding and all this stuff. You just got to take time off, recharge the batteries, regroup, you know. And in this case, you know, we had our dog, and, it, you know, they become your family. You know what I mean?
Oh, they
and,
totally are, yes. Even from a distance, Ann and I were feeling it. So our hearts go out to you guys and the kids.
With that,
how did your beer finish? I wanted to know.
You beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you. Okay, well, since you asked me,
yes,
beer finished great. Uh-huh. I like this beer. It's kind of like that juicy hazy, but on more of a bitter side and less
nice.
On a sweet side. Very good. Very hoppy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the IBUs are, but what I could say is they're probably north of 80, if I had to guess.
Okay.
Overall, though, solid beer. I enjoy it. I've had this, I don't know, I've had a few six packs now over the past couple months of this specific one, and I liked it so much, I thought, you know, after I think it was like the first six pack, I put one aside. I said, you know, next show I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to have this one with Ted. So
awesome!
I really enjoy it, and it's the reason why I had it tonight. So, how about you? How did your beer finish?
Awesome! It you know, it started really mellow and smooth. So they did it just pitch perfect for a 12%er. The peanut is very subdued for what I expected. I expected a little more peanutiness, but
okay.
It said peanut, so not peanut butter. So I guess that lets you know that it's not going to be that over the top sweet peanut. And by the end, it was even more smooth. It's kind of warm out here. You know, I don't have central air. I have a little air conditioning unit in the window, but it's loud, so I turn it off for the record. And it got hot in here really quickly. But this beer holds up to the heat. And then I just wanted to say, I forgot to mention at the top, that I got back. I took Bryce one day. I had my credit card stolen, so I had to go back to the credit union in Burbank. So I was like, I guess I'm taking Bryce to school on Wednesday or something like that. So I took him to school on Wednesday, got my new credit card. If you're out there, you'll have to find the new number to steal, whoever you are. I doubt they're one of our listeners, but whatever.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
But I got back to Handy Market. So I got to spend.
Okay.
I spent, because Bryce is in class for 2+ hours, almost 3 hours, I was not rushed at all. You know, I went to the bank, took care of the bank super quick. And then I just hung out in Handy Market in the back there.
Drooling.
And I was like, Ann, I didn't have lunch before I took meetings all the way through right when I was going to leave. So I said, I'm going to get a hot pastrami sandwich here and 4 beers. So I picked 4 beers and I got my hot pastrami sandwich. And as I took the hot pastrami sandwich across the counter, I was like, oh man, this is an expensive hot pastrami sandwich. I got to switch out some of these $12 beers and get $5 beers.
The pastrami was expensive.
Yeah, huh? The pastrami sandwich was like a $10 sandwich. It was
what?
It was worth it, but come on. I was not. I was expecting like $6, $7 sandwich, and I was like,
yeah,
I can't justify two $12 beers and this. You know what I mean? That's a little too extravagant.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, wow, a $10 beer. Jeez. Insane. Yeah, so I'm glad you got back to Handy Market. So, you know, your old stomping grounds.
That's right. That's right. It feels like we're getting back to normal a little bit here and there.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. And those beers are to come in the future of the show, I'm assuming.
That's right. I got four solid beers over the next 4 weeks. There we go.
All right. I can't wait. We'll just have to stay tuned, I guess.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah. Don't tip your hat too early, and we'll have to talk about the first one next week.
Awesome. All right.
All right, Ted.
Talk to you later.
You have a good night. Later.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.